Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, May 28th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 22, the first paragraph. This is by no means through one paragraph ending, should identify him roughly, commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Alex K., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Luann C., Becca R., and Shelley E. The reference number for Monday, May 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,434. That's 21434. And for this morning, Tuesday, May 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,436. That's 21436. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Yvonne A., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. A special thank you to each and every one of you for your service this meeting during the entire month of May. Thank you so much. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you so much.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Dawn. Thank you for your service, and good morning, especially to the newcomers. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, working on my recovery one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 22, that first paragraph. This is by no means, through one paragraph ending, should identify him roughly. And we'll be commenting on this paragraph today. I will now ask Luann C. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Hello, everyone. I'm Luann C., a recovered compulsive overeater living the dream in Boise, Idaho. Forgive me, I shared yesterday, not knowing this would be my assignment, so I'm going to try to be brief so you can share. The reading is, this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as our behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. What stood out to me is this phrase, as our behavior patterns vary. And in the previous paragraphs, we've seen all the manifestations of alcoholism, but I really think this really applies to us as compulsive eaters, maybe even more. Some of us come in anorexic, some bulimic, some have high weight numbers, some have low weight numbers, some are addicted to salt and fat, and some to sugar. But what we have in common is a dysfunctional reaction to certain ingredients and a mental twist that sends us back to using food as the solution. And that's what's important, because that commonality makes us uniquely qualified to help each other out of this dilemma of the never-ending cycle of hopelessness. And I'm so grateful for that, because I get to be a part of the solution today, and my life has been forever changed because of that. I'm so grateful. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Ian F.
Ian F.
Linda W.
Linda W.
Las Vegas.
Okay, who else would like to share? Press star one.
Susan N., New Mexico.
Susan N. Who else would like to share? Press star one. Okay. All right. Let's go with that lineup. I have Ian F., Linda W., and Susan N. Ian, please go ahead and get us started.
Hey, all. This is Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Louisville, Kentucky. Very grateful to be here. When we first read this paragraph, I was like, really? That's what we're going to read today? but it's things to mind. The first one was already shared about, you know, there are anorexics, there are bulimics, there are compulsive overeaters here. It's called Overeaters Anonymous, but we have a variety of experience. But also, I think even with someone who has an almost identical eating journey to me, you know, who starts out anorexic and then starts to binge and starve and purge and binge and starve and purge and then just is binging. That's my story. They're not going to experience everything down to every little detail in their story that I have. And it's really easy for me to pick out one or two things that make me different from a speaker or a fellow and go, oh, well, I can't relate to them, so I don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the caveat on this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, but it should identify him roughly. It's basically saying, hey, this is generally what we're like. If you can find yourself in any of this, this might be you too, right? We don't have to be twinning on everything, you know. We're very similar people, all of us. Those are just a few of my thoughts. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Kentucky. Linda W. From Las Vegas, it's your turn to share. Star one, Linda.
This is Linda W. I definitely have this disease. It doesn't matter how I have it, I have it. And it really gets me down. It is that mental twist. Every time I say, it's my not only my mental twist, it's my willing to be willing and to be open and honest. And that's a difficult thing for me, but I'm here and I'm doing the best that I can. And I'm enjoying everybody's share because I don't feel like I'm alone. And I'm just going to listen to everybody and take it all in. Thank you. Linda W. from Las Vegas.
Thank you so much, Linda W. Sure appreciate it. Susan N., please share with us from New Mexico, and then I'll be taking some more names if you happen to be just joining us. We are on page 22, talking about that first full paragraph. This is by no means through one paragraph ending should identify him roughly. And so, Susan N., go ahead and share, and then those of you who would like to share, please get ready. I'll be taking your name shortly.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. This is Susan N. from New Mexico. And not quite sure exactly what I'm going to say. I've been involved in the program for 12 weeks now. I ended up at the birthday party as I was invited to the birthday party by my daughter, and I went to support her. And I came back very, very inspired. This I've not shared at all in this last 12 weeks or even done a lot of reach out. However, this paragraph meant a lot to me because in some ways, one of the reasons that I probably didn't share is that in some ways there were lots of stories that I could not relate to. And, you know, I thought, well, I don't really have a lot to add to, you know, to the mix. However, I'm learning more and more in the last 12 weeks. I've continued to come to meetings on a regular basis. And I had an initial struggle higher power struggle to start with, but I've resolved that. And I have a fabulous sponsor. Took me a little while to get a sponsor, but I have a fabulous sponsor who actually is meeting me where I am, which has been incredibly, incredibly helpful and beneficial for me. So I don't, you know, all I know is that this is working for me. And while I sometimes don't relate to a lot of the stories that I hear, I have, I am coming away on a daily basis with how well this program works. And with that, I'm going to pass. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susan N. from New Mexico, for sharing with us. I am now going to take the names of people who would also like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Pam B.
Maria from Sweden.
Okay, I have Pam B.
Sandra Maria from Sweden.
Did I hear Maria?
Sandra Maria.
Santa Maria?
Sandra Maria from Sweden. Yeah, Sandra Maria.
Sandra Maria. And where were you from? Sweden?
Sweden.
Very good. Okay.
Tom L.
I have
California.
Tom L. Okay, I have Pam B., Sandra Maria, and Tom L. Who else would like to share? Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. Pam B., followed by Sandra Maria, and Tom L. Go ahead, Pam. It's your turn to share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you. I'm Pam B., grateful, real grateful, real compulsive overeater from California. And I just wanted to claim my feet and say that I feel like I've done, I've been absent from flour and sugar since September, but I feel like I just really took a first step in terms of being a real alcoholic. And I was, my story was like, I wasn't overweight. It wasn't, I was in a normal, healthy body range. I went to the doctor and he said, you know, you're fine. You don't need to lose weight. And yet, what else? Oh yeah, I would take pictures. I'd have my husband take pictures of me in my underwear, you know, these like before pictures, and then go, wait, I look good. Like I look fine. But I knew I was crazy. In fact, at one point, my dad was in the program. Sadly, he did not stay with it, but I have a lot of addicts in my family, and I am a food addict, and I knew something was wrong with me, and I went to AA, this was long, long ago, wanting to be an alcoholic, and they say, basically, that the sponsor said, we don't think you are an alcoholic. I'd never been drunk, but I knew something was wrong, and the thing is, the way I qualify is I cannot eat like normal people. Once I start, I can't stop, and I cannot stop from starting. And I need to work the steps, and I am, and I'm really grateful because that just got clear to me. And I kept thinking I could get away with this or that, and things didn't apply to me when it came to putting down the food. And it's like, nope. Someone shared last week, they can't have a handful of tomatoes. Me too. Like, I can't have an extra. And it just feels so wonderful. And thank you very much. I pass.
Well, thank you, Pam B. Thank you, Pam B. from California. Sandra Maria from Sweden, please share with us.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Sandra Maria, compulsive eater from Sweden. Thank you for your shares and the reading. And what stuck me or stayed with me mostly, so if it's windy where I'm at, was the fact that I so easily put myself outside. And also the fact that, you know, you can be professionally working with anything. You could be smart in many areas, but when it comes to food, I am powerless over even a pea. And that has been very challenging for me to accept many times. But when I do, it's really amazing. And I feel like when I'm committing my food and when I eat according to what I committed, I feel very, like, serene before God, if I say so. It feels very, very... Yeah, the things I was thinking about, that I always get very, stunned every time I share about specific food behaviors, that I've never been alone. It's like there is always someone that has done the same crazy stuff that I've done. And even small, picky things, it's like, wow, I'm not alone. It's very, very amazing. And what is most amazing is, of course, the fact that I'm not... I don't need to live in a disease anymore. And for me, it's so much emotionally connected that if I take care of my emotions through this program and through God, then I don't need to have these cravings. And I mean every emotion. So, yeah, I'm learning to grow up, and this program really, really helps me. And I'm so grateful that you're here, and I will try to get more into it. I don't want to be standing outside. So God bless you all, and I wish you a beautiful and abstinent day. Bye.
Thank you so much, Sandra Maria from Sweden, for sharing with us today. Tom L., it's your turn to share.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Tom L. from California. We span the globe. this picture of the alcoholic, it's good to read the paragraph before. It's a list of calamities. And it's every one of those sentences that, you know, describes the alcoholic can be mapped back to Bill's story. Bill didn't take a census of AA and say, hey, how did you drink? He just consulted his own memory. And he said, this is how I drank. I'm an alcoholic. Are you anything like me? And he probably ran into a bunch of alcoholics who didn't have all those things. There's one way to identify, one part of the picture is that, you know, then comes the day when he simply can't make it and he gets drunk all over again. I've tried dieting a lot. I don't like dieting. The idea of restricting my food and denying myself those pleasurable foods, that doesn't come naturally. I did it because I was desperate. I started when I was, you know, about 10 years old, trying to control my weight. Actually, my mother tried to control my weight because it was obvious I had a problem. The picture of the alcoholic, you know, it has many different... worse and worse, and worse and worse. As matters grow worse, there are many people in OA, I listen to their story, and I go, well, that's not that bad. You know, how many jobs have you lost to your overeating? You know, oh, you were late a few times? I don't think so. You know, Tom writes you out of OA. But I don't get to judge who's in OA, thank God. The only one I can judge and the only one I can damn is myself. Because my insanity is so great that I could look back over my life and the tortures that I've undergone and go, oh, it wasn't so bad. You know, I'm sure I could make that work. That's how crazy I am. I won't go into my story, but, you know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody else, even my enemies. So I think it's the extremity, the it's getting worse and worse. If that's not happening, try something else. It's so hard to give up on my ego. The only reason I would do it is that literally is a gun to my head. And for me, my disease is happy to do that. And if I forget, it'll be happy to remind me. Thanks for letting me share. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. Great shares today, and I'm now going to take a list of others who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? We're on page 22, that first paragraph. This is by no means, through one paragraph ending, should identify him roughly. So who would like to share?
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Rebecca R.
Rebecca R.
Nick F. in Santa Fe.
Nick S. from Santa Fe.
Tennessee.
From Tennessee. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, we'll go with that lineup. I have Sherry H.M., Rebecca R., Nick S., and Jordan L. Sherry H.M., it's your turn to share with us, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, from Washington State. This is a good reminder. You know, it's a small paragraph, but it does piggyback on the previous paragraph, and all of those things that, you know, went on. I remember things like dieting, and then, you know, falling off the diet wagon, and then back into the arms of my refrigerator, and then down the elevator shaft of shame because, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. What's going on? What is wrong with me? I kept wondering, what is wrong with me? How come there's other people that can just, you know, eat, I don't know, one cookie or this or that, and but me, I just have to keep eating until I'm just numb, and it just was awful. And all the weight, you know, that would put on and medical problems. And it's a good reminder in this book that it is permanent, it is progressive, and it is fatal. And here I am, 9.5 years later. I just don't really think much about food. I don't really think much about what size am I, or, you know, all of that crazy, crazy stuff. What's my next diet? Because, you know, the miracle, it says in this book, God has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And that is my, you know, higher power. And it's just a miracle. This program does work. I don't think about that stuff. I never would have believed in a million years that that could be me, that I'm not, you know, out always obsessing about, especially sugar and other things as well. But I just want to encourage the newcomers. This does work if we work it. And how this book says there is a solution. And it really does work. I remember thinking that all the people that went to this meeting that I went to in the beginning, you know, and I'm like, oh, I could never be them. I just could never be them and be happy. But I'm just so, so grateful and feeling so blessed. So it does really work if you work it. So everybody have a wonderful week, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Rebecca R., please share with us, followed by Nick S., and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And I just wanted to, like many others, to share on this is by no way the comprehensive picture. I know when I came in to Overeaters Anonymous, I was actually not in the lowest parts with my food. I had been severely bulimic at other times and anorexic. And when I came in, it was actually like the obsessive night eating that brought me to my knees. And so I really appreciate that the shares before and just the literature up until this point is like, find where I fit. Listen, find who is speaking my story. And I love the suggestion that I've heard over the years to, you know, attend up to six meetings before really making a decision and listening. And it was this meeting in particular that I call my home group, but this is where I really heard there were people who did the things with food that I did. And there were people talking about living in a normal sized body, but being obsessed with food, being obsessed with counting calories, being obsessed with the math equation. If I have this, can I have more of that? If I skip this, can I have less? Like the chatter, and I could identify with you guys. And I came into the program right before one of our Vision for You conferences, and I just remember my heart was like, I just want to meet these people. These are my people. And when I met you guys face to face and hugged your necks, there was nowhere I felt more at peace and more authentic than in a group of face to face recovered compulsive overeaters. And I'm just really grateful to be here, to be part of this, and to be tapped into the solution today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Nick S. From Tennessee, please share with us, followed by Jordan L.
Hi there. My name is Nick F., and I am in Tennessee. You know, for anybody just joining on page 22, this paragraph, this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic. I love this, you know, because when I was in my active addiction, you know, I found out new ideas about how I could kill myself with the food. And, you know, and then we're reading from this big book, so I get to take the seriousness of my OA and my drug, of my AA, alcoholic drug addiction, and bring it into how I'm going to look at the food. My life is on the line, and it's food, a cupcake, a cake. This will kill me. I never want to put that substance in my body for the rest of my life. And I don't fight it. I don't run from it. I'm not hiding it. I very much can serve other people's food that used to kill me. I very much can bake other foods that used to kill me. It's not a problem for me today. The issue no longer exists. Why? Because I'm here. I'm here with my fellows. I'm in a safe place. I get to be real about how the trauma that I did to myself with these substances, with these ingredients, and I don't have to be ashamed anymore. You know, I was just looking into the eyes of the most beautiful woman on the planet, and she told me, you can go to your, you know, I don't know why, but I think it's very important that I get to share with my fellows that I am an African American. I am a part of the LGBTQ community, but most important is that I am someone with this disease. I am of the hopeless variety, and if God don't teach me a new way to take care of myself, and if God don't teach me a new way to feed myself, I will die a death very much with my eyes wide open. And on March 25th, 2021, I surrendered my life to God. I didn't even know it was God at the time. I could only much say, please, high power, help me, save my life. I don't have to understand it. I don't know. I don't have to know your first, your last, or your middle name. Just please help me to stop wanting to kill myself. And it hurt me that day. And there's another fellow that said that God didn't take my life and help me kill myself. But when I asked to be saved, that power that's greater than my understanding, it's been saving me ever since, and it's given me new ideas about how to take care of myself. It's given me new ingredients and new meal plans, and it's given me a new sponsor and a new relationship and a new identity and a new depth and weight of how to get in touch with my children. See, I didn't like my children because they came from me. So in my active addiction, I handed them, I was going to cuss, but I handed them off to my dad. And now in my active solution, in my new spirituality, I'm trying to see how to get closer with them, how to just sit and listen to the pain that they have to share, what they felt like when their mama handed them off. But I don't have to hand off my kids because now they are part of me. And since I love myself, I get to explore how to love my children more. I get to explore how to love my woman more. I get to explore how to love and listen to my fellows. I'm not going to always know the right thing to say, but so I get to sit and listen, and I get to be humbled and let other people teach me today. Whew. I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to know all the answers. I just have to be willing to accept that God is carrying me. So with that, I pass, and thank you so much for you all there.
Thank you so much, Monique F. from Tennessee. Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names. We're talking about page 22, that first paragraph. This is by no means through one paragraph ending should identify him roughly. So go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. This is kind of an interesting paragraph, right? Because the one before it, I'm not sure that I can say I relate to every single thing in there. And it did. It was a journey to a first step for me, for sure. But there's a second sentence here that says, but this description should identify him roughly. So, like, as a compulsive overeater, I should be able to identify with at least some of the paragraph before, you know? And I think that's important. OA is not for everyone. It is open to anyone who wants to be here, but OA, it's not for everyone. There's other problems that exist besides compulsive overeating, and we don't need to solve those problems, you know? Like, we have a singleness of purpose, and it's important to focus on that singleness of purpose. So I will say the first time I came to an OA meeting, I identified with what people were talking about as far as what it was that they were doing with food. I did by no means take a first step in that meeting at all. I identified. I didn't want to give up my alcoholic foods at that point in time. Like, I wanted to find a way to eat the way that I wanted to eat, when I wanted to eat, how I wanted to eat, and, like, I was going to go somewhere and figure out how to do that, you know? And 5 years of trying to figure this out on my own beat me into a state of reasonableness. So when I showed up at OA for the third time, I was reasonable. But it wasn't because, like, someone had said something new, or I had, like, you know, some end-all, be-all sponsor or something like that. It really was, like, the food beat me into a state of reasonableness, and I was willing to listen at that point and willing to give up my alcoholic foods, as I had not been willing to do prior to that. So I'm very grateful to identify as a real compulsive overeater, and I'm very grateful to have this group of others who also identify the same. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. And I'm now going to take a few more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 22. Sure. This is by no means through one paragraph ending should identify him roughly. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Joanne L.
Joanne L.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. I'll take one more name.
Elizabeth A.
Elizabeth A. Okay. Go ahead, Joanne L. Please share with us.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dawn, again for your service and everybody on the line. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I have been reading the 12 Traditions for many years now, and I love it because every time I go over this list, something always pops out at me. And this time around, every time I read this, I look at tradition number three. And tradition number three says the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And, you know, that makes so much sense to me now, because for the longest time I was coming to program. I've been in this for years and years. I've had my successes. I've had my relapses. And then I just stopped committing my food. I said, I'm not going to take a food sponsor. Nope. And I'm not going to commit my food. Nope. And I'm not going to write it down. Nope. And so where did it get me? It didn't get me anywhere. So finally, one day, I said, you know what? Enough is enough. I am recovered in three other things, and I said, I want to be able to help people in with the food, too. I really want to help people, period. And so I had had enough. And finally, in January, I took on a food sponsor, and it was just a miracle how she was put in my life. And it's not the sponsor who has done my program, by no means. She is my guide, and I'm so happy to have a guide. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have gone to a nutritionist, because she's the one that led me to a nutritionist. And now it all makes sense to me. I love the gentleman who said, he agreeing about the food, you know, not having things that I like. Now, I'm speaking about me, my food program. When I eat, I do have things that I enjoy. I'm not going to limit myself. I'm going to be 70 years old, and I don't limit myself to where I'm starving every minute. And I believe a long time ago that was the problem for people, you know, in OA. They were on the gray sheet. They couldn't eat very much. So now I'm working with a nutritionist. I'm working with my sponsor. I write down my food. I commit my food. But most importantly, I have a spiritual connection with God. And I always have. But, you know, for some reason, I just put him on the back burner. And I didn't think that he knew what I was doing, what I was eating, but he did. He just laughed and said, you know what, I'm going to wait, Joanne, until you're ready. And so I am so grateful to be here. Listen to these 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. There's so many good things in here. And one more thing. Okay, 12. The 11th tradition says our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. And yes, you all attract me to come to this program. Thank you. I'm sorry, Don. I passed.
No worries, Joanne L. Thank you so much from Rhode Island. Nancy L., please share with us, followed by Lizbeth L.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. I'm Nancy L., recovered in Arizona today. You know, I used to spend so many years running from the food and running to the food, and I remember from the age of five, how important sugar products were to me. I just thought, well, I'm like everybody else. We all love sugar, right? Yeah, well, I loved it to death, practically. By the time I was 55, I was well over 100 pounds overweight, and I was heading for disaster. But I think for me, I would hear about OA, and I think, I'm not like those people. I would just identify out. That's not for me. I'll find another way, but that's not the way I'm going. And then I just started listening to this particular meeting from the very beginning, and I heard the recovery stories, and all of a sudden I could really identify and then ask myself, why not me? Why I could have this too. All I have to do is follow a few simple steps. And I'm grateful I did. I've been in a healthy body weight for over 20 years. My doctor says, Nancy, your heart loves your weight. I'm in my middle 70s. I'm stronger and happier now than ever. I'm so, so grateful for this program. And welcome, newcomers. I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. from California. Lizbeth L., please share with us. And
good morning.
Where you're calling from. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Oh, my goodness. as I'm listening to people share and just looking at the paragraph, I'm reminded of when I came into OA in 1986. And this woman in the program brought her mother to the meeting. I don't know what she was thinking, but anyway, that's not my business. And I am recovering from, from bulimia, undereating, overeating, overexercising. I did cocaine to manage my weight. I binge purged. I starved. A lot of pressure growing up to be of a normal weight. So when I shared at that meeting early on that I was bulimic, that the woman's mother said, "Well, that's sick." And yeah, that's why I keep coming, because I have an illness. I didn't ask for it, didn't put it on my resume. I abused food, started very young. And what I know about myself is that I still want to be on the outside. Years ago, a pastor said, "Liz, you're like looking at the outside through a glass window, and you're not fully engaged." And I still do feel different, and I do feel outside. Maybe part of me wants to be different. Yeah, it's, you know, and I know there's reasons, and I could give 1,000 reasons. And I had a relationship with the Lord when I crawled into OA, and I had been bludgeoned. I was never meant to do it alone. And, that's how I wanted to. I wanted, because God knew, I knew. But the program has forced me out of some of those behaviors of still wanting to be different and be outside. And I'll end with this. A woman in program said, "There's no growth in the zone, and there's no comfort in the growth zone." So my God and my program pushed me to do things that I wouldn't naturally do. Thank you.
Thank you so much, excuse me, Lizbeth L. from Michigan. And we do have about 45 seconds, about 30 seconds, if someone wants to, has a burning desire to share. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and end the meeting then. We are so grateful for all of you sharing here today. Just so appreciate being with you and carrying the message together. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Becca R., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Hey, Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky. Thanks for the meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.